Coming up on The Potter's Touch.
He went into the grave as me, and he got up as me. The question is, are we really resurrected? Today we want to understand that what he did on the cross and in the grave and when he rose has first of all been acted out in the water when he was baptized. John baptized him in the water to give us a preview of what he would do on the cross. John didn't even want to do it, but Jesus said, suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. And the Bible says that John baptized Jesus, and when he took him down in the water, we hear no words. But when he came up out of the water, up out of the water, up out of the water is like coming up out of the grave. When he came up out of the grave, a voice spoke from heaven, said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And here for the first time since Genesis, we see the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him bodily. Even as he rose up from the dead with all power in his hand, all exousia, all authority is in his hand. He rose in the fullness of his power. He rose both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He rose from the dead. I heard him say, Korah, no man takes my life. I lay it down, and if I lay it down, I'll pick it back up again. Then Paul says he was raised the same spirit that quickened Jesus' body. So Paul says it was the Holy Ghost. Jesus says it was him. And then later he says he was raised by the glory of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all embodied. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Holy Spirit descending like a dove, fullness of the Godhead. Everything in heaven spared no expense in his resurrection. They didn't even get it. All of you that got it, holler at your boy. That means the fullness of the Godhead that said, let us make man, is the same fullness of the Godhead that was committed to raising Jesus from the dead. And Paul says, oh, that I may know him. The him he's talking about is the fullness of God in the power of his resurrection. I'm trying to tell you that that same fullness is ready to pay all expense to get you up out of whatever had you locked up. So when Jesus went to the cross, he went for me. He went as me. So he went into the grave as me, and he got up as me. He Paul makes a connection in Ephesians 2 and 1, and you have he quickened. Shana, you have he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, Jesus got up as a shadow of you. Glory to God. If he didn't get up, I couldn't get up. When he got up, I got up. When he died, I died with him. That's why death has no more power over me. Because when I accept him as my Savior, I tell sin, I already paid the bill on Calvary. I don't owe you anymore. Jesus paid my debt, took my death, and rose up. And Paul says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in the trespasses and sins. It says, he quickened you. All of this was done so that you might know him in the power of his resurrection. All of this was done so that you might identify with him. He got up out of the grave. And Paul says, I got up with him. The question is, are we really resurrected? Or are we still stuck where he was? Are we still where he used to be? Are we still allowing ourselves to be trapped in a grave? Are we trapped in a grave that we have grace over? Are we living in a tomb that we should be evicted from? We are stuck in a grave that God is calling us out of. Stuck in a mindset, a mentality. Stuck in things because they're familiar. And you have quickened who were dead in the trespasses of sin. Because in times past, the book says, ye walked according to the god of this world. In times past, of whom we all had our conversations, in whom we all, don't be looking at me funny. I'm not the only one who came out the grave. In whom we all had our conversations in times past, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, even as others, according to the nature and the course of this world. We were all stuck in the grave, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, walking according, look at that, among whom we also had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, 1, 2, fulfilling the desire of the flesh, 3, and of the mind, and were by nature, 4, the children of wrath, even as others. It was natural. It was natural to be nasty. It was by nature the children of wrath. You don't have to take little children and take them to a class on lying. Have you ever noticed? You don't even have to teach a 3-year-old how to lie. They'll steal a cookie and you say, who got the cookie? And crumbs all over their mouth. Never took a class on lying because we are by nature. We are nasty. Don't stand there with your holy blue eyes looking at me, acting like you have always been right. The Bible said, the Bible said, the Bible said, it ain't one or two of us, we were all. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Give me verse 4. But God. Run over and slap somebody and tell them he got me out of my grave. He got me out. 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 We see the hint of this. We see it when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised him out of the position of the dead. When he called him out of the grave, Lazarus, I'm getting ready to change your position. Come forth. Now, disciples, change his condition. Loose the man and let him go. I admit I'm still changing my condition, but my position has already been changed by the blood. Lazarus' position changed, and then his condition changed. Jesus raised us up and changed our position, and we are receiving this word to change our condition. Jesus raised him. The disciples loosed him. I cannot loose you if God hasn't raised you. I've got something. Say it. I've got. Say it again. Wherever you run out, that's where he runs in. As long as you act like you don't run out, you don't give him no place to run in. But if you open up and say, I'm out of it, I don't know what to do, I can't fix it, I can't bring it together, I can't handle it, he'll run in and fill up that gap. Whatever you need, God is a gap filler. 77% of released prisoners were arrested for a new crime within 5 years through our Texas Offenders Reentry Initiative. You can help ex-offenders move beyond their past to a greater level of purpose. More than 10,000 ex-offenders have completed the TORI program and successfully transitioned back into society.
You can be that missing piece to help reunite families. Visit gpspartner.org to become a part of our global partner system.
Watch this. But God, who is rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Come on. Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us, made us alive together with not after, with Christ by grace. You'll say, wait a minute. That means if I'm quickened together with Christ, if I'm serving a resurrected Jesus, then we should be a resurrected church. If he is risen, the risen church, if he is risen, you should be risen. The book said he have quickened us together with Christ. With Christ. When he got up, we got up. So the church is not on the cross. And the church is not in the grave, because we have been quickened together with Christ. I told you, when Christ rose from the dead, he didn't rise up to continue his old life where death was a threat. He rose up in the next dimension to die no more. So he raised to the next dimension. We were quickened together with Christ. Why am I living in the grave dimension when I ought to be living in the resurrected dimension. Take me, but God who is rich in mercy, take me back to that. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, come on. Even when we were dead in sins have quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, come on. And hath raised us up together and made us sit. And made us sit together, not in heaven. I haven't been to heaven yet, but I'm living in heavenly places. I'm thinking in heavenly places. I'm walking in heavenly places. Every now and then when I'm doing the dishes, I can tell, because I start out washing the dishes. But when I start praising God, it don't even seem like I'm in my kitchen anymore. I'm in heavenly places. This is my address. My address is in Christ Jesus. What I'm trying to get you to see is that we need to be a risen church. If we have a risen Lord, we need to have a risen church. The problem with most of us is that we are still stuck in the grave stage and not the grace stage. It was funny when the Lord gave me this message. It's only one letter difference. Between grace and grave. You can change one thing. You just a minor adjustment. And the grave you've been thinking in, the grave you've been worrying in, the grave you've been upset in, if you change one letter, are y'all getting anything yet? You're gonna step into grace. Grace is the risen church. The risen, let me check you out. Have you ever gone through something that normally you would flip out about? But for some reason, see, the devil mailed it to your old address, but you don't live there no more. He's seeking the living amongst the dead, and what used to drive you crazy doesn't drive you crazy anymore, because God has given you such a grace. You got a peace that don't even make any sense. Who am I preaching to? Every now and then the enemy will send a letter to your old address, and he's looking for you to be in the grave that you already came out of. But God has given you such a grace that you can't even explain why you're not upset. You heard what he said, but it didn't affect you like it used to affect you, because you are living in heavenly. Final point and I'll close. If you're going from grave to grace, you have to possess the grace. It's not gonna happen just because you go around gracey places. I watch people sit in church. I know a lot about you by how you receive the word. You'd be surprised what I can know just by watching you receive the word. Some of you are in gracie places, but you don't really seek them. You don't really open up your spirit. You don't open up your heart. The Spirit of God can fall like rain, but you don't stick out your tongue to get your mouth wet. Everything you need is in the room right now. But your pride, you just as lost as a sock. But your pride won't let you seek out the Savior. You're surrounded with something that could change the rest of your life. But you are so used to being in the trash can of who you used to be that your pride won't let you seek. So when we worship, you look the other way. When we praise, you think it's not for you. Everybody who attends a service doesn't seek in the service. I'm real good about being dignified. I can be dignified as anybody you know. When it comes time, I can put it on with the best of them. Trust me, I can hold my own. But when it's time to seek his face, ain't nothing I'm wearing that good. Ain't nothing I'm driving that cute. No degree I attain that important. Because whatever I got, God gave it to me. Y'all didn't hear, whatever I got, whatever I've accomplished, God gave it to me. And I will bless the Lord. I'm going to close. But I want to start something. I want to start a revolution. I want to start something that sets you on a new trajectory. I'm trying to get you in the next dimension. I'm trying to get you from grave to grace. Chikaya. Woo! Excuse me. I felt the Holy Ghost. God quickened my spirit. He quickened my spirit and reminded me something. I drove back and forth from Charleston to Montgomery for 10 years, pastoring 5, 10, 50 people. Didn't seem like no problem. Because I had the grace to do it. When you got the grace, when you got the grace, you can deal with the grit. And it doesn't even bother you because you got the grace. Shout out. Woo! I feel like having fun church. Because I want you to understand, grace can cause you to go through something that will burn up other people, and it won't burn up you because you got the grace to go through it. I'm trying to quit. You know, the book said that he shed his blood as a propitiation of our sins. I always wondered what propitiation meant. I looked it up and it gave me some revelation. But it didn't give me the fullness of the revelation. I didn't fully get it until I started studying aerodynamics. That when they take space shuttles into the heavens, they have a propitiator as they change atmospheres. When they get ready to go from one atmosphere to the next, right. The friction of entering into the next dimension would cause the astronaut to burn up in the capsule. But they have a propitiator. Come on. The propitiator is designed so that the friction that should have burned you up, the propitiator observes the friction so that the astronaut remains alive. Some of you have gone through some stuff that should have killed you, but the Bible said, when you pass through the water, I'll be with you. When you go through the fire, I'll go with you, shut up. All of these years, 41 years, I've been preaching the gospel. I've been through hell. I've been through high water. I've been through good times. I've been through bad times. I've been through situations that I can't even explain how I survived it or how I came out. All I can tell you is that I had the grace. If you got the grace, what burned up other people? Look back over your life. Look back over your life. The miracle is not just built on Jesus' ability to do it, it is also built on their ability to carry out instructions.
God is in the details. He has a perfect plan to turn your situation around so you can walk in victory.
Your miracle is in the process.
For your gift, you'll receive the powerful teaching, God in the Details, and the Ephesians 2:10 leather-like bookmark.
Leaders don't take no for an answer.
For your gift of $90 or more, you will receive a decorative wall cross and Graves to Grace.
I'm saved, and you can't do nothing about it. I'm His child, and you can't do nothing about it.
For your gift of $150 or more, you will also receive the 3-part Ultimate Bible Study Set. This is your chance. Call or go online now. God has a plan for your destiny.
I am telling you right now, your best is in front of you.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for your candor. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for your strength.
Thank you so much, you know, for making the investment into us. It is definitely appreciated and it's definitely making a difference.
Just really opened your eyes to what the Lord wants you to do in your life and with others.
Because you're obedient to what God has called you to do, you're calling people like me to be obedient to what God has called me to do. So thank you so much.
What I believe is the price that you pay for taking up the space on this earth is improving the lives of others and the situation for the generation to come. If we don't do that, who's going to do that?
Who's going to do that?
If you are not in the room where changes are occurring, you are in the yard where consequences are received. Be in the room.
Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Stuff.